Bakın.
Welcome to the Born and Raised audio experience, presented by Onyx.
All right, guys. Right now, I am here with the man, the myth, the legend. Actually, honestly, one of my, if you could call it, mentors or someone that I look up to in a highly standard. Welcome to the Born and Raised Audio Experience, and we are here today with B. McElray. Right?
You pronounce it beautifully. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Anyway. B-Mac from Hush is with me today, and the reason that I wanted to do this podcast, honestly, I've thought about this for a long time, and it's just over 2 years ago that actually I took the big leap.
You did?
Yeah, jumped off that giant cliff. Yep. And said, honey, here's the deal. I'm going to go from a solid income that we have right now, and it's pretty predictable, to throwing my life to YouTube and trying to produce content every
Wait,
day.
Wait, what? You're going to go do YouTube as a what? How?
And
a
she's
career?
Like, really? Yeah. So, anyway, and you guys have all heard this story, I think, in the past a lot. But, dude, this man right here has done it already. He just took the leap. How long ago?
September.
September.
Yeah, September 24th was my last day at corporate America, and oddly enough, I was with your brothers in Montana.
Yeah.
And we were on an elk hunt as my last day of corporate America ticked by. So it was a pretty surreal day. I know you relate. Yeah. And I appreciate your words, because I feel equally as inspired about your story and Cody's story. And honestly, I think that's the cool thing about what we get a chance to do is we've become such great friends. We truly cheer each other on. We're each other's, honestly, biggest fans.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I think we can work together to help each other and inspire each other. So through inspiration from Born and Raised, through my partners, Casey and Eric, through some other friends of ours that we know, Ryan Rickert, pretty much any young entrepreneur has been somebody that I've been inspired by. And so after a long time, I decided to test the waters.
Test the waters. So give me the rundown from corporate America. You mentioned that already.
Yeah.
As far as that goes, how does that look like? What does corporate America look like versus entrepreneur? If you want to,
for sure. Yeah. So I went to college, did the whole college thing. I went to Arizona State, and then I worked in the NFL for a little bit for the Minnesota Vikings, did that, which was a really cool experience if you enjoy sports.
Football.
Growing up, I always have been a big sports guy. And then when I got back into Portland, my old VP at the Vikings said, you need to go do sales. It's like, okay, that sounds great. So I started in sales, literally knocking on doors. So imagine yourself
really
carrying a bag, trying to peddle products, walking into businesses every single day.
ShamWow stuff.
100% cold calling. I had like a kit, had mops and stuff in it, had towels, had air fresheners.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I did that.
What age are we?
We're early 20s.
Okay.
First true sales experience, and it's exactly everything you can imagine with outside sales. So 100% new business.
Gotcha.
You are getting denied, rejected 80% of the time if you're good, 90% of the time if you're not that great, and 100% of the time if you want to get fired pretty quick in sales.
Nailed it.
So that was 9 years of corporate life to start out with. Went from sales to sales leadership, and it was about as...
To telling people how to sell.
To telling people, teaching
okay.
people.
Okay.
I'm talking like shirt, tie, suit every day. I had to shave because of a corporate compliance policy.
Hit the lines.
Every single day. You couldn't come with a little stubble. You had to shave.
Really?
So very conservative, Midwest-based company.
Wow.
And that is where I started my career. Did that for 9 or 10 years. Moved on to some other similar roles, more into the construction space. And then my wife actually got transferred for her career to Salt Lake City. So I grew up in Oregon, lived just East County, kind of the Gresham area. And then essentially we moved to Salt Lake, okay. Not knowing anybody. In that time, a couple years before, I had met Casey on an elk hunt in New Mexico. We'd always stayed in touch, and I just loved his... I loved what he was doing. Just random. So a good friend of ours, Cody Lujan, we met on the internet. My wife and his wife still make fun of us.
Nailed it.
But Cody and I met, and it's just this crazy web, dude, because as we sit here today, there's still influence from the first time I met Cody on a hunting forum in 2009. Cody Lujan. So our best friends are literally outside right now at the fire. So crazy. It's this crazy web, which I'll kind of hopefully loop back in throughout this podcast. But I met Cody Lujan.
It's going to be good.
I decided I want to put in for my first ever out-of-state hunt.
That's a whole different podcast altogether.
For sure. But I said, you know what? Let's do this. Decided to do New Mexico. Ended up drawing a unit. Cody lived in Albuquerque. We hung out and met via Facebook. And this the forum, because back in the days it was forums before social media.
Right.
And so we met up.
So
and,
we're typing everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're typing it.
Yeah. We're exchanging, you know, private messages is what they call it. PMs.
Yeah.
We're doing that whole thing.
Nailed it.
Anyways, I met Cody, did my first ever elk hunt. He told me about some good friends of his in Portland, Shoemaker, and good friend in Seattle, Tony.
That's crazy.
And so then the next year, Casey Butler did the same exact thing. He freaking literally followed suit.
Right.
Reached out to Cody, drew a tag, went to hunt New Mexico. So by 2012, Cody introduced us to Casey. I was with my dad, and I was with our other buddy, Tony, who I mentioned earlier. And we all were down in the Gila Forest on an elk hunt. It was the most incredible hunt. We had so much fun. My dad shot his biggest bull ever. I shot my first really great bull. And I had met Casey Butler for the first time in my life. And he was doing this thing on YouTube. He was making a full-time career out of it with his family, number one. And then number two, he was starting this thing called Hushin' with Levere, which kind of means hunt fish.
Yeah.
He'd just been kicking it off, and he wanted to showcase his lifestyle of being passionate about the outdoors and hunting and fishing. And Tony and I literally were like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what? How do you make a living on YouTube? And so it was such a bizarre story. Casey and I remained friends over the next 2 years, and then when I moved to Salt Lake with my wife in 2014, he was like, hey, I want to introduce you to my friend Eric. You should, you know, he's somebody I know in Salt Lake.
Absolutely.
So I met Eric. We started kind of like working together, and I'd always kind of helped Casey out once I met him in 2012 because I enjoy the business, sales, marketing side.
Corporate America.
That's kind of my wheelhouse.
Yes.
And Casey needed a little bit of help there, and I was thinking to myself, man, this guy's got this great platform. You should be able to get something from it, you know, whether it's free gear or something. Like, you're doing good things. And you were a trailblazer. You literally, like, was one of the first hunting-related channels on YouTube.
Yeah.
So it started that, and then eventually, yeah, Eric, Casey, and I got together, and we said, you know what, we should probably, like, figure out a way to work together. We all have unique strengths, talents, and abilities. Let's try this out. So Eric and Casey started after a dinner where I recommended, you know, you guys should really partner together. And then they brought me on probably about maybe, like, a year later to where we all had equity in the brand, and we're like, let's try this out. Like, again, we have no idea what could happen or could come of it. We just knew
this was at its infinite is an opportunity. Stages.
Yeah,
right?
We're talking like late 2013 is when Casey and I were kind of working on just like business related stuff.
Okay.
Then he brought Eric on in 2014, and I started with him in 2015.
Okay, and you very started basic. As
just helping out
a personality, just a hunter.
I was really honestly more on the outside of the camera. I wasn't. Okay. Responsible for being in front of the camera much. My job was, how can we work with other companies and create partnerships, sponsorships, accounts receivable, accounts payable, all kinds of stuff that...
Yes. We're going to get into that. Hold on. Yeah. We're going to get into that in just a second. I want you to keep the story rolling. I want to keep... So, go. We're in the infinite stages.
We're in the infinite stages, yeah.
We got you and you got Eric. You now you're a team.
We're a team of three.
Yeah. So, go.
So from there, I'm still working full-time corporate job. And I'm moonlighting with Hush. And thankfully enough, being in sales, if you perform, you oftentimes earn autonomy. So I wasn't tied into an office location. I could work from my house and I could go see my customers. And if I did a good job with that and I hit my sales numbers, I would therefore have the luxury, if you will, sure, to maybe like not work 40 hours a week. Maybe I could work 30 hours a week, or maybe it was 20. It just kind of depended on the situation, but I got myself into a good position, and I did that after reading the book by Tim Ferriss called The 4-Hour Work Week. That really opened up my eyes 100% on how I could start to create a plan B for myself. And I went through some adversity in corporate America. I got fired twice in the course of 3 years, and once was after being with the company for 9 years, once was after being with the company for only a year and a half. And I was kind of in a bad place. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
But at the same time, you say fired.
Fired. I I'm 100% fired.
No, I'm 100% fired. But at the same time,
we can dance around what happened, you know, but some adversity.
So, like, coming in this podcast, I wanted to... So, the... I guess my drive in this podcast is to try to inspire somebody
100%
to get outside that box,
yes,
and to just try to do something that's super scared. You got fired.
I got fired.
Fired.
Yeah.
Twice.
In 3 years.
And it wasn't like, hey, we're going to have to let you go. No, you're fired.
No, it was you're fired.
Yeah.
It wasn't laid off. I didn't try to, and I, as hard as it was, I just had to own it. I had to own it, you know.
And what does that look like? Like, as
far, well, because when you're trying to like get a new job after, yeah, you've been fired or let go or laid off, however you want to define that, I think your initial instinct is to feel embarrassed.
You're rising from the ashes.
Yeah.
You're
it's down. A hit to your pride.
You're down. Oh, man.
You know, in my early 30s, I didn't see it coming.
Yeah. And you're young.
I had success, too. You know, I'd made a few president's clubs in this company. I'd have been promoted to a leadership role, made a president's club again. And yeah, just kind of, I got a new VP and things didn't go great. We didn't see eye to eye, and he just straight up fired me. And so that was a tough one. I actually took a little time off because I've got a great wife and she supported that.
And so you were married through this whole time.
Oh yeah. Young family.
I guess, what does that look like as far as, hey, honey? Because everybody asked me, you know, when I took the big leap from a pretty sound job that was, yeah, dangerous as heck, but yeah, it was just like I had a very steady income to doing what I do now.
Absolutely.
To Born and Raised. What does that look like for a marriage?
Yeah, being fired, I mean, coming home and telling your wife that you got fired was one of the more challenging things we've been through as a couple. And ironically enough, she got promoted 3 days later, so it was just like a super weird,
things have a way of working out.
It was a weird dynamic, you know, like I was the breadwinner and then got fired. And then she got promoted. And I guess the way I look at marriage and whatnot is being a partner. And, you know, sometimes...
Absolutely.
Sometimes you as the man are going to be the one leading the charge and being the provider and being the breadwinner.
Yeah.
But sometimes your wife is going to be that person. And the way I see it is if you can just work as a team and, yeah, you're all in it, you're all in it for the same reason,
yeah,
that is how we have succeeded in life, I feel like, because we work together, you know. So when I was at my low, she picked me up, she took the range, she freaking had to start paying for bills, she knew I was in a bad mental headspace, she's like, take some time off, go do some stuff, kind of get recharged. So I took about 10 months off with her support, and I fished my face off and I hunted like crazy, and I got in a better headspace. I got over that setback, because getting fired or like having some adversity is tough. And so did that, and we made it through that. Got the other job, got fired again. That one was just kind of laughable. I mean, what can you do but laugh
super
at that point?
Laughable.
But I got some great advice from one of my old VPs that I worked with, okay, for a long time. He's a really, really fantastic person, one of my mentors. He told me, Mackie, what would you do if money wasn't important? What would you want to do? Hmm. And I just said, man, I mean, I would want to do something in the outdoor space. And he looked me dead in the eye and he said, you've got to figure out a way how to make that happen. And he had just left the same corporation that I got fired from a little bit, maybe a year and a half sooner, to go chase his dreams. He's super passionate about being in the sales and consulting world. He's very well read, just a very polished business professional. And his advice really hit home. So that's when I figured out the book about Tim Ferriss. There's another great book by Seth Godin called Linchpin. Both of those books were really beneficial in my progression through adversity. And then as we kind of circle it back to being hooked up with Eric and Casey, I just was like, man, I love this idea, this opportunity. And they are great at the content side of the world. So think producer, they do a lot of, almost all of the video creation. They do almost all of the editing.
I think that's a lot of people, they see us on YouTube, they see us on Instagram, they see us,
yeah,
you know, wherever it is, and it's like, well, yeah, they're just going out and they're just having fun.
Yeah.
All they do is just go and goof off.
Sure.
And they just post stuff online.
Yeah.
But could you clear that up just a hair?
Yeah, I mean, it's at the bottom line, it's a business, you know.
Man.
It's 100% a business. And for, you know, somebody like Trent and Cody and Casey and Eric and myself to literally walk away from something like you mentioned is more comfortable.
Sure.
To pursue this, it's a business.
More
so
reliable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about strategy, working again with our partners, with our website, and how can we capitalize on some of our merchandise. I'm looking for sources of revenue that align with our strategy and our vision of the brand.
Yes.
And there sometimes there's opportunity for revenue that doesn't align with the brand. And in those instances, you know, we just walk away from it. And maybe, yeah, we're not going to make any money through that. But we decided early on, like, we're gonna only work with companies that we truly believe in the product and the people. And we're gonna handpick them. And we're not gonna go through that situation of just chasing a dollar, because our why of why we started Hush never revolved around income. It was always about relaying a message or a vision or an idea that was important to us and how we grew up with our dads and our families, and then trying to get out there and maybe inspire a new hunter or an angler, whether they're a child or an adult, to just get out and try something new.
Yes.
You know, we're very passionate about trying to bring a little bit of awareness to the public land access component, to conservation, and then we really are passionate about giving back. And so we make a point every single year to donate to a lot of local charities in our community, because
you guys do a heck of a job.
It's something that we're just very passionate about. And when we started this, we had no expectation of how many views or followers, or none of that was even on the top of mind. It was just, we knew we loved the opportunity and the idea to be entrepreneurs, and maybe if we could help out a couple people, put a smile on their face, whatever, then that was awesome. That was why we started it. And I think at times you do get looked at or judged maybe because you have a certain number of views or followers and there's a different perception in place. But thinking back, you know, 4 or 5 years when this thing started, we didn't know anything of what it could become. We really didn't. And part of that is because we were one of the first YouTube channels to really try this model. You know, it didn't exist. There wasn't another YouTube channel out there doing what we were doing.
You guys started the platform.
I think we opened up some doors for a lot of different brands. And it's been really cool to see how the pendulum has swung from the outdoor old school television world over to this really fascinating new edge digital world.
One of the reasons I wanted you on today, and especially... right now, we're on a fishing trip, guys. We are on the annual Steelhead Bro Born and Raised Hushin' fishing trip. And anyway, it's this trip, honestly, that inspired me. We're 4 years deep.
We're four years on this trip.
We're 4 years deep.
Yeah. And literally 2 years ago and 4 days is when you walked away.
When I walked away from my job, but the year before that,
3 years ago,
yes,
is when we had a big discussion.
Is when we sat down on a rock, and I'll be totally honest, is we sat down on a literal rock.
A boulder, yep.
And we all were talking. It was me and Trevor and Casey and Brian, and we sat down on a rock, and I said, guys, is this a lucrative deal? Is this something that... We need to try to do. And they were obviously before then they were telling us, you guys need to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you guys really have something. And it was It was tough. I'm not going to lie. It was just 100%. Like, okay, wow. It's the same thing that you know, you just got done. You're jumping off a rock here and you're like, holy moly.
It's just the way I look at it, man, it's a crazy way life works sometimes because I grew up in Oregon. So born and raised was a huge inspiration for me. You know, I didn't know you guys back then. I went to the Aladdin Theater. I watched the Full Draw film tour. I sat in the seats as you guys played your videos on the big screen, and I was inspired. I didn't know Casey at this time. This was well before Hush ever existed.
Long time ago.
Yeah. And I freaking loved it. You know, I took my dad there and my uncle there, who are my hunting buddies that I grew up with. And you guys had such a huge influence on so many elk hunters in the Northwest and beyond. But back then, your reach was a lot smaller from just how you did it. It was through Full Draw Film Tour and DVDs.
DVD, bro.
But you did that. When I met you guys for the first time, it was actually my wife and I just had gotten to Salt Lake City, and I met Cody at the Full Draw Film Tour for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And shortly thereafter, I had actually emailed Cody and one of his old partners at Full Draw Film Tour when I got fired, saying, hey, man, I think you guys have a great thing here. You could probably, like, get a few more partners and stuff. If you ever need any help, like, holler
Let
at me.
No,
I would be happy to help you.
We'll talk about this later.
We'll talk about that later. Anyways, things went a little awry. But I guess the point being is we had some early conversations back in, like, 2014 via, like, private message on Facebook and stuff where I was telling Cody, hey, man, you should really, and this was right after I'd met him in Salt Lake at the Full Draw Film Tour, you guys should really think about doing this for Born and Raised. I said, my buddy Casey's got this great channel. I mean, it just seems to make sense. Didn't quite happen timing-wise or whatever.
This is back then. We're like, YouTube?
Yeah.
What is that?
But when we did get on that fishing trip,
yes.
And even before that, we saw you guys at SHOT Show and got a chance to kind of plan the trip. We were just trying to hammer home, you guys need to do this. You have to do this.
And it's crazy. Since then, what's evolved?
Oh, my gosh. So much has changed.
It's crazy. I mean, as far as we've done elk hunts and...
Dude, Land of the Free, Land of the Free was born.
Yeah, Land of the Free was born, and then Roosevelt elk hunts with the Hush. It's been a roller coaster.
The most amazing couple years of my life, for sure. And
awesome.
Honestly, despite even like the business side growing, I'm just very happy and proud and appreciative of the friendship that we've built.
Absolutely.
And I hope you guys that have watched any of our collaborative videos, I hope you guys can see it. You know, the brotherhood is real.
It's real.
Care and love for each other and want nothing for the best. And that's another reason, like, why we love the digital platform so much is there's no competition. You know, the old world of hunting television or outdoor TV, you would never see two different TV shows work together. Very segmented, very siloed. And we just have such a different idea of that. We want to share knowledge and ideas and experiences, and we want to truly help each other grow. And we've seen that work, I think, incredibly well through these fishing trips. But honestly, Land of the Free was just such a great project that we were very happy to be a part of. But it's been a fantastic couple years. So over those time frames of all that stuff happening, I just was getting less and less interested in my corporate job, even though it was a good one, and more interested in becoming an entrepreneur.
Sure.
And watching you take the plunge and Cody take the plunge, and it was working. And then obviously seeing the kind of continual gradual growth of Hush and Casey and Eric both going full-time. You know, the goal with us is we made Eric full-time first, said, hey, man, you run with it. Then we folded in Casey.
Okay.
Now we got two full-time guys. And then once the brand was healthy enough, then I could try to jump in. And it was just a matter of timing because, again, I don't want to be overly aggressive in some of our decisions about, you know, walking away from a great job. But at the same time, I was ready.
Yeah, and I think I know you fairly well.
I'd say.
A little bit.
I'd say.
Yeah, and you're a very methodical thinker. Everything has its place. Everything has a plan.
Definitely.
And to do this whole entrepreneurship thing is there is you put that number of liability way, way, way down.
Yes.
As far as you know what, you have to have a plan going into it. And I guess my question to you would be, what is your advice for the guy that's out there right now, that's in, let's just say, corporate America. Let's just put him in your shoes, your exact shoes.
Sure.
And he does not like what he does every single day that he goes to work. Or she.
Yeah, anybody. You bet.
Give me your advice.
Couple things. Number one, recognize where you stand with your career, right? If you are waking up on a Monday and you have anxiety, you have stress, you genuinely do not like who you work for, the company or the leader, that it should be a giant red flag that you need to make a change in your life. Some of those times, those changes are made for you. And so when I got fired, those changes were made for me. And thank the Lord it happened that way.
Yeah.
And other times, like when I recently resigned, you proactively make your own change.
Yeah.
But the point is, recognize where you are. We hear from so many people that we meet at different expos or trade shows or emails that get sent in where people are, they're not happy. They don't love what they do. At the same time, they probably have a family, they have a mortgage, they have commitments, and they can't just throw the towel in and walk away. That's not realistic.
And to me, that makes a man. And I'm just saying a man just because that's just the...
But they have obligations.
They have obligations, man. Yeah. You have a family. And if that's what puts it down, and if it takes you under, you know, a little bit of stress...
No doubt.
It's crazy, but... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. That part is tough, right?
Absolutely.
How do you navigate around that?
Absolutely.
And I think, again, social media and what have you might give a perception that's just incorrect, which is, man, these guys just quit their jobs and started this brand and they're giant all of a sudden or whatever. That's just not the case. I mean, literally, if you follow the timeline along, Casey started Hush in 2011. We met in 12. The three of us started working together in 13. And now we're in 19. I mean, this has been going on for 8 years our channel's lived. And honestly, 4 or 5 years with the three of us working together.
The normal person doesn't see that.
Doesn't happen overnight. Like anything in life. Like it just doesn't happen that way. So number one is you got to figure out, what are you passionate about? It may not be hunting or fishing. It might be art. It might be culinary. It could be, you know, a landscaping firm. Whatever that is. Like, figure out what you're passionate about. And then start to find a way to create a plan B. You've got to maintain an income so you can take care of your obligations. But at the same time, you need to start figuring out a way to plan an exit strategy. That could be as little as 12 months. That could be as many as 48 months. It just depends on your situation. But figure out what your strategy is to leave. Because if you're not happy, don't just become mediocre. Don't accept being unhappy. Like, guys, it's we say it all the time, but you don't get two shots at this thing called life. Like, you got one shot. And whether you are 19 and just getting into college or whether you're 45, like, you still have time. You have time to make different choices.
And I think the thing that I would elaborate on what you're saying is now versus when my dad was growing up.
So many more options.
There's so many more options, man.
There really are.
If you're in the culinary skills, let's just throw that out there.
Yeah.
You can go Facebook. You can talk about recipes. You can do all that. Back in my dad's age, you open a restaurant and you hope people like your cooking.
That's right.
But now you can share that with the world. You can share everything that you do right now. It's so broad that you can open up your landscape and you can do anything you want with it.
You really can. The book, The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss, is a great one because it helps you understand how important autonomy is.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to eventually get to a space where you don't have to be committed to the grind of clocking in and clocking out, or you're not hooked up to an office or a job site where you have to be there for your entire work week. Autonomy allows you to have a little bit of flexibility with your scheduling, so you might be able to double dip. Where you can work and get your stuff done and be more efficient, but then follow up with the stuff you're passionate about on the side and build that while you're making an income.
Yes.
That is critical. But again, sometimes the hardest thing, in my opinion, is to figure out what are you actually passionate about. And so I would just challenge all of you guys listening, ask yourself genuinely, what are you passionate about? And what would you want to do if money was not important? Those couple things can help kind of start figuring out the path that you might want to go down. And I would just say that from experience, it sometimes you might know, and if you do, you're way a step ahead of the game, you know?
Way
ahead of the game.
Light years.
But more likely, you'll be like, I honestly don't know what I would want to do for a living if I could pick my own destiny.
Yeah.
Those are tough decisions, but again, if you find yourself waking up, not loving what you're doing, not loving the person that you work for, make a change. And I would say through the adversity that I had dealt with, getting fired and stuff, at the end of the day, I could always just go get a job. So when I approached my wife about doing Hush full time, and we thought, man, I think the timing's right. You know, I'm obviously looking at our finances from a business standpoint. I'm looking at this change of no benefits and being an entrepreneur and having this super random schedule and just, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, all you get to do, like you said, Trent, is go out and have fun. And
yeah. Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
You're kind of right in a lot of ways. Like, that's the beauty of the business model is you wake up doing what you love.
You do.
But.
Okay, give me that huge but because
it's
the only time I want to interrupt you is because I was honestly at my favorite restaurant just the other day and ran into an old high school buddy of mine and he goes, oh, wow, yeah, working real hard, you know.
Yeah,
and sure. It was in the middle of the day. Honestly, I was going to lunch with my wife and it was just like there's so much more to what's going on that you don't see that, man, for every day that we go fishing,
yeah,
how many days is spent in an office doing emails and doing, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's like, wow.
It's
yes,
still
I'm not
work.
Kidding you. We have the greatest lives ever.
We definitely do.
We do. And it's we are super blessed. But at the same time, it's like, man, it's not just bananas and pajamas.
No. I love that line, by the way.
I was going to say, I don't even know where that came from. I'm sorry.
At the end of the day, you're still trying to build a business. It doesn't matter, again, what your business would be. There's things that are important to that. Revenue and income being number one as far as, like, how do you get it to survive? So that's a constant one. You know, we're still in a new space within the confines of the outdoor industry, if you will.
True.
There are still a lot of companies that produce a product, more than a service, I would say, that are not so sure about how this YouTube thing works in the scheme of marketing and advertising and partnership. There's still a lot of companies that are very comfortable with print, like old school magazines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of companies that are very comfortable in the TV world. And it is the pendulum, like I mentioned earlier, has swung tremendously from how it was when we first started in, let's say, 2014-15 to where we are today. And what I mean by that is when we first started approaching companies, because it hadn't existed, there was no benchmark. There was no idea of what are you worth? Is it going to even be valuable? Should we even be considering a sponsorship with a YouTube channel? Like, it was brand new.
And that's what you guys actually paved kind of the benchmark for.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly, you did. Hushin, you guys were like the first.
We had to kick some doors down. And I got to tell you, that part back then was not easy. Like, I think I was able to rely a little bit on my sales experience. And then
absolutely.
The three of us painting a vision for these brands that we had approached on, here's what we know we can do with this platform.
Yeah.
But it wasn't there yet. There was no proof. So some of the companies that were the first ones to kind of agree to work with us, obviously we hold them true to our heart. They saw the vision, you know, and they believed in the potential, even though nothing was really in place.
Yeah.
But to your point, now we fast forward to 2019,
yes,
and you've got Born and Raised Outdoors, you've got the Hunting Public, you've got a ton of people that might be ambassadors within a social media platform or something like that, and you've got more and more folks creating their own YouTube channels. They might have just different aspirations. It might be solely for their family and friends to benefit from, but I know there's other people that would love to duplicate our business models and see if they too could kind of jump into the game. And
which we're all in. That's
absolutely
awesome. That's awesome.
One of the things Joe Rogan says that I love is that, you know, there is plenty enough space for everybody on the internet. And again, it goes back to our philosophy of working together to help each other out. Like, that's what we do. We share a lot of insights. We share a lot of ideas. We obviously try to collaborate when we can.
Yes.
With the idea that it will truly help any of our brands grow and prosper.
100%.
And hopefully show other people that, man, don't take yourself so serious. Don't be so competitive. You know, we all probably started hunting and fishing because we did something with our parents or our grandparents or whatnot. It never mattered about how many, like, likes or views you got or what type of an animal size you killed. You did it because you got to spend time with your family and because you wanted the meat and because it was enjoyable. You know, and if we can stay true to those kind of three components, hopefully it avoids people getting really wound up about some of the social media stuff that gets thrown out there, you know, because that's not why we do it. It really isn't.
It's a trap line at some point, but at this, okay, I just want to get down to it. I want to close this out.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Advice. Just one piece of advice to that guy.
Okay.
I think we kind of went through it. But
We've covered some bullet points. The biggest one, though, is honestly, you've got to just make the jump. You have to do it.
At some point, you have to do it. How long was it before... I'll be honest with you. I was yelling at you to take the jump. And I'm nobody yell at anybody for taking a jump because at the same time, it was a very difficult process for me, honestly. But at the same time, it was just like, okay, when are you going to do it? And I think taking the jump, I guess, going to something that you're super passionate about, I've seen people that dabble in it, and they're like, okay, I'm going to. But when you finally take that jump, you can actually devote 110% of your efforts towards exactly what you or the group wants to do, and it makes it how many times better, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that when you're all in on something, you're going to be more effective. You're going to be more efficient.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, you've got to just take that leap and try it.
Yeah.
You know, that is, to me, such a huge dynamic of whether you become successful or not. Making that leap is a big step. And I think a lot of the folks that we do hear from have a great idea in their brain. They just haven't had an opportunity to maybe develop that plan B, so there's a timing issue there.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, a lot of people have a tough time making the leap because you are taking a step off of something comfortable onto something uncomfortable.
So it's changing that whole dynamic. So you come into it and you said, I got fired twice.
Yeah.
Fired.
That,
obviously, I wasn't loving my job.
Yeah, that was the perspective I needed. That.
And so I just take myself from that.
Yep.
To that boss's standpoint of like, you know what, this is what I want to do. This is what's best for, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, it's
like, you know what? Now but there's...
Go when ahead. You've been go ahead. Through some adversity like that...
Exactly.
It doesn't seem as scary anymore. Because
right.
I survived twice being fired.
Yeah.
I survived being on unemployment.
Yeah.
I survived going through some stuff that I didn't enjoy.
You name it.
And I came out okay.
Yep.
That right there... allowed me to just look at things in a different perspective because now I know if I try to do this thing with Hush and it fails, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'll be okay.
Yeah. That's a great point.
You know,
point.
I'll
That's
be able to point. Pick myself up and I can go get another job doing some sales
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
And maybe I don't love it, but you know what? It'll help me fulfill my obligations to my family.
Absolutely.
And so embrace that adversity you might be dealing with. Don't be comfortable with mediocrity and just go after it. And regardless if it works out for 1 year or 20 years, you will learn so much about yourself, your capabilities, things you need to continue to develop and work on, and you will be positioned to be a better employee, a better friend, a better husband, you name it. You're gonna be in a better light because you're just gonna like come away with so much more from those situations where you might feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Mm.
So I guess that would be my best advice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, dude, thank you so much for doing this.
Love it, buddy. Yeah. Appreciate you having me on that.
We're fishing, guys. We are. B-Mac watches fish that he caught today. It was a giant. Anyway.
It was awesome.
But just check out our YouTube channel and check out Hushin's YouTube channel. I approached you earlier. Yep. When we first got together, I'm just like, man, I want to have you. I want to sit down with you and talk with you because we both did. We took that leap.
Yeah.
And it was difficult. I'm not going to lie to anybody. It was difficult. And I'm not going to lie to anybody. And what I love about what you just said is, you know, if this fails, I'm going to be okay.
Yep.
I'm going to be okay. So, I mean, you know, and that just makes it, you know, it's not like you need to do this and this is going to make you succeed. No, it's I want you to be happy. And I think that's at the end of the day, that's what I want people to know.
100%.
I want to be happy. I want to go home to my wife and I want to be happy. I don't want to be like, I did another 9-hour shift or whatever. You know what I mean?
Just think about that.
I want to be happy.
In your life right now, if
it's
you come
so
home,
so
if your job is terrible, where you spend a majority of your life at your work, you are not going to be that great of a spouse, of a parent,
Absolutely.
Of a friend.
Absolutely.
You name it. Like, it sucks the life out of you. I've seen it from my experience. I've seen my wife go through it. I've seen plenty of my family and my friends go through it. It's just not worth it. And I think until you get shook up and deal with some of that adversity, you're not as inclined to be a little bit more aggressive in your decision making and try that different thing out that might lead to happiness.
Yeah.
And again, we're going to ride the wave with what we're doing at Born and Raised in Hush. This might last for another year. This might last for 20 years. We have no idea.
No idea.
But we're just going to put everything we have into it. We're going to wake up loving what we do. And with any luck, we'll be able to make this kind of a long-term career for all of us. You know, that's really the goal.
Awesome. Well, thank you, brother.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. And thank you guys so much for listening. Please go check out Hush's channel. They're doing some awesome, awesome things. And they've inspired us to do exactly what we do as well. So, all right, guys. This is the end of the podcast. And thank you for listening. We'll talk to you on the next one.